Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Good morning. It is Monday, April 15th, 7 minutes after 9. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Today, a day also known as Tax Day. Last day for most taxpayers to file their 23 return. It's also the last day to request an extension. Commissioner for the IRS says that they are receiving millions of last-minute returns. It's a flurry of activity for the IRS.
All right, so when do you get your taxes done? Are you a person who waits till the very end, or are you an early tax
doer? I like to start working on them as soon as we start getting the forms, yeah, the W-2s.
You're very meticulous and a very detail-oriented person.
They were completed a few weeks ago and sent off to the, you know, the CPA lawyer guy.
Sure.
And he sent stuff back saying, nope, do this, do that, sign here, sign there.
Right. I honestly have no idea, unless you're just a person who has like a job and you can enter it into TurboTax. I have no idea how anybody who, in your case, your husband owns a business. I have no idea how anybody would ever do their taxes on their own without a trained professional. If you have any sort of complication whatsoever.
Yeah, and that does make it more difficult because he has to file quarterly.
Right.
So that's something you got to keep track of throughout the year.
You should be able to do your taxes on a single piece of paper. Yep. Like, I made this and I owe this.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have this convoluted, totally not understandable tax code done deliberately and by design. And I think that's what's so frustrating is when we always hear these politicians talk about paying your fair share or, you know, this with the code. I mean, Biden has been in charge of the tax code for 50 years. And yet it's screwed up. And you see all these lifer politician people who have deliberately created this complex tax code. And it's complex because they need certain people to benefit out of the tax code. That's why it is the way that it is. It is done by design that select people who enrich and embolden these politicians and their political careers can get ahead.
Suzanne Crouch just tweeted out about hour ago, today is tax day, Hoosiers. As your governor, I'll lead the fight to eliminate the state income tax, which will save you an average of $2,000 each year. And she said, let's make 2024 the last year you file state income tax.
Can I take a stab at what the tweet should have said?
Sure.
Would you like to read it again one more time just so I can hear it before I take a little stab at it?
Sure. She said, today is tax day, Hoosiers. Uh-huh. As your governor, I'll lead the fight to eliminate the state income tax, which would save you an average of $2,000 a year. Let's make 2024 the last year you file state income tax.
All right. Very good. I've got that. All right. Are you ready? I'm going to take a stab at what the tweet should have said. Today is tax day, Hoosiers. As your lieutenant governor, I have said absolutely nothing as the Indiana Republican Party has raised taxes year after year after year after year. Mm-hmm. Whether it's property taxes or gas taxes or taxes on your vehicle or taxes on your licenses to run your professions, I've said absolutely nothing. Why? Because I'm an establishment hack and I'm not going to get anything accomplished if I'm the governor, which isn't going to happen.
Oh boy. Well, she's of course going with her Axe the Tax campaign. And
that's insulting, isn't it, Casey?
Well, she said that, you know, it's going to phase in. It's not something that's going to happen all at once. It will phase in when they meet certain triggers.
Isn't that insulting, though, that she has the audacity, after doing or saying nothing for 7 years? It would be one thing if she had been a fighter for the people. These are the sort of things that enrage me, Casey, because I look at this and say, you had an opportunity to be a leader on tax reform. You had an opportunity to be the voice for the people, but you haven't done that year after year after year. So why would I or any other person believe that you're suddenly going to become some fighter for us when you absolutely have zero track record of doing that?
So the average refund is $3,011. That's up $123 from a year ago. Yes.
What is it?
$3,011.
Okay, so we got to just stop here for a second because Carl and I had this conversation beforehand and Tony's producer and Kevin and I had this conversation beforehand and you and I had this conversation beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I am amazed at the people who are thrilled that they get money back at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because you do realize that
you're giving the government your money and they're gaining interest on it.
And I get that there is some sort of euphoria in having money deposited back into your account as though it has shown up from a magic money fairy. But the government is not running a soup kitchen here. And I get that there are some people who just can't stand the thoughts of owing money at the end of the year, and they overpay throughout the course of the year. Now, do you want to be owing thousands of dollars at the end of the year? No, but to me, it would be like, why am I giving my money away to the government? I mean, you should try to be as close to on that number as possible. And if you owe a little bit, that's probably okay, too, because you didn't give your money away all year.
Well, chances are you can invest it better than the government can.
Well, and I mean, just look at the thriving savings account rates these days, Casey. Mm-hmm. My goodness, how could you not just be permanently ahead? I am just always, I would be very curious to hear from people about your approach on taxes. Are you a person who does strive to get money back at the end of the year, or are you a person who strives to owe a little bit because you want to keep your money throughout the course of the year? At Rob M. Kendall on Twitter, at Casey Daniels 317 on Twitter, or you can call the hotline 317-684-8444, 317-684-8444. What is your approach to doing your taxes each year?
If you could, you'd like to get it right on the money, right? That's hard to do, though. You got to thread that needle. If you would like to track where your refund is, if you are in fact expecting one, the IRS does have a website. It's called Where's My Refund?
Oh, how exciting.
Now,
we're holding on to it.
Right. Where's it at? Well, hey, they said that they've, this coming from the IRS, that they've done a great job of getting refunds out quickly this year.
Look, I will tell you, I did get a few shekels back from the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. By the way, the state of Indiana, you can say whatever you want about the actual income tax. Like, the government should be run by the state, like the way the states do the income tax, right? Indiana, it's like, okay, you have these deductions that qualify. Here's the applicable state tax rate. There are very few deductions people can actually take. I mean, you need a trained professional to enter those in. And then, boom, there it is. It's like super simple to do your state income tax. Now, we can debate the rate and where the money's going, et cetera. But from the actual perspective, it was very easy, or at least I'm told by an accountant it's very easy. Mm-hmm. And I did get a few coins back. Again, in the area we had just talked about where you would want to be based on paying about the correct amount. And it was very quick. It was from the state. Now, I did owe a few coins to the federal government and give them credit. They quickly deposited my check.
I'm sure. I'm sure they
into
did.
Their account.
Very quickly. Okay, so you got a little from the state and you owed a little to.
It was about even when it was all in the what I owed versus what I got. It was about even, almost.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good for you.
Then you take out all the money I had to pay my accountant, and then it was not even.
Right.
However,
that's another check.
However, the
that's
actual
separate.
Money
the government's
owed.
Not involved with that one.
Do you do this with your accountant? Do you sit there and look at him when he gives you your total, and do you go, do you want to run that again?
No.
Like, have you tried?
No.
Are you sure you've tried as hard as you can?
I trust him, and it's worth every penny what we pay him, because he'll send back like a 14-15 page booklet with little post-it notes.
Oh, yeah.
And the little sign here. So I just got to go through them, and he'll even make instructions. Copy this, keep this for your file, sign here, send this back, send this over there with a check for this much money. So at the end of the day, we owed the federal government some money.
Oh.
Daughter, though, got her refund back yesterday.
So she's going as a independent now, or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's an adult, right? She's
paying for her college. How are you letting that girl steal money from you?
She's getting a little bit of refund. I haven't opened it. I don't know
she's
how much
totally,
is in it. It could be like 10 cents.
You are the nicest person ever. I would tell that kid, if I were paying for that their college, you will be a dependent, and I will be taking credit for you until the government snatches your dependency from my cold, dead, lifeless hands.
Until they can
you
say that's
so
no
nice.
Longer
oh
available.
My gosh.
Okay, so there are a lot of different goodies and treats available to you today to ease the pain.
Oh.
With tax day here, there are some restaurants that are giving away some freebies. For example, today, Krispy Kreme is offering people a free original glazed donut.
Oh, wow.
You got it.
For
the price of the sales price on the first one you purchased.
Wait. So it's not even a free donut.
Well, you got to buy one, and then they'll give you a second one for the cost of the sales tax.
So congratulations, you've taken it up the backside from the government. Here's a discounted donut. That'll make you feel better about everything.
Hooters, you know, we've been talking about them a lot.
Yeah.
If you visit a Hooters location and purchase 10 wings today, you're going to receive 10 wings of any style for free.
Oh, how exciting.
Like, so it's like a BOGO there. Potbelly is also offering a free original sandwich with the purchase of any original or big size sandwich today. So another BOGO from Potbelly.
Am I weird that it freaks me out? Now, I decided to do this year. I sent the money that I owed into the government, and I'm always paranoid because I'm a notorious rule follower, Casey. Mm-hmm. And while my taxes were done early, I waited until, you know, a reasonable time frame because no person should want the government. You owe what you owe, and you pay that, and that's fine. But you shouldn't want the government to have the money any earlier than absolutely desired. Mm-hmm. So I waited until April, and then I spent the next 5 days in a panic hoping it would show up, because then what if it doesn't show up? Then I'm in big trouble.
Right.
And like, every day,
did they get it?
They did.
Did they get it?
And I was so relieved. And that made me so mad that I was so relieved that the government took my money.
One last treat I'm going to tell you about, and that is that TGI Fridays has created a new limited edition drink. This is an adult cocktail. It's called Tax Break.
Oh.
It features the 1800 Silver Tequila. Citrus, agave, strawberry, and also passion fruit. So you can drink your troubles away, I guess.
All right, let's take a break. What are we doing next?
Oh, you know what? We've got a round of 20 questions coming up.
Oh, how exciting.
Because I watched the Masters with a local celebrity.
Oh, my gosh.
And I want to know if you can figure out who it was.
Oh, how exciting.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org. Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
The Masters happened over the weekend, and we'll get to that coming up later in the program. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. One thing I did want to mention about the Masters is that I got the chance to watch part of it with a local celebrity.
Oh, how exciting for you, Casey.
Yes, it was.
It's my day, and you're taking it all for yourself. So congratulations. Thanks for stealing my thunder.
It was quite a different perspective to watch the Masters with this person. So I thought, let's have a little fun with 20 questions. These are yes or no questions.
Yeah.
And you see if you can't narrow down who this local celebrity was that I got to watch the Masters with.
Sure. And before I do this, I'd just like to point out that Casey knows this is one of my favorite weeks of the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what a big deal it is to me.
Mm-hmm.
She knows how much I love golf.
Yeah.
And yet she is hijacking the first Masters segment, not for me to be able to talk about the joy of finally being able to watch it with my kid,
mm-hmm.
or that I got to spend it with my dad, or that I won my bet, or mm-hmm. what a great Christian Scottie Scheffler is, and how he talked about giving his life to Christ in the post. Nope, she's taking it for herself. All right, Casey, let's find out what underachiever you watch the Masters with. Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, what are we doing here? What's the rule?
Yes or no questions only.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then you got to narrow it down.
Okay, very good.
20 questions.
20 questions. All right.
Yeah.
Is it a man or a woman?
That's not a yes or no question.
Sorry. Whoops. Is it a man?
Yes.
Is it a television personality?
No.
Is it an athlete?
No.
Is it a business owner?
No.
Is it a radio personality?
No.
Well, that's really narrowing down the celebrity aspect. If they ain't on TV, they aren't an athlete, and they aren't on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be something where you're going to tell me who this person is, and I'm going to have no idea who they are, and they're known by three people that live in your high-rise association?
No, I think it's somebody who's known by...
Is it a politician?
No.
Kev, would you like to chime in here?
Is it a comedian?
No.
So they don't own a business. They're not on TV. They're not on the radio. They're not an athlete.
You're circling so close. You're very close.
Hell, I don't know, Casey.
It's not what they're known for.
Oh, what does that even mean? It's not what they're known for.
You know, this is the way 20 questions works.
Well, I'm already out of questions to ask because none of my questions
have been stumped.
What would you just like to tell? I mean, what? Like, is the person married? I'm just going to keep this going because otherwise we're going to have dead air. Okay, the person's married. Is the person married to someone famous?
No.
Is the person married to someone better looking than you?
Did you already ask if this was a musician?
Nope, not a musician, Kevin.
Oh.
Do you want a hint?
Is this person a newspaper writer?
I think we need a hint.
Okay, you're very close with athlete. You're close with athlete.
Does this person own a professional sports franchise?
No.
Does this person run a professional sports franchise?
Okay, close.
Does this person coach a professional sports franchise?
Yes.
Okay, so we've narrowed it down. They coach a professional sports franchise. That narrows it down. Let's see here. No, that would be no. I'd like to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
What the hell's the guy's name? Shane Steichen!
No!
Oh, damn!
Okay, well, you got to, what was that, 14 questions?
So that
15 questions?
Okay.
You have 5 questions left if you think you can get it.
Well, I don't think it was Rick. Was it Rick Carlisle?
No.
I don't even know who the manager of the Indians is.
You should narrow down the sport. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do they coach a professional football franchise?
Yes.
Are they retired?
Yes.
Oh, well, they don't coach a professional. Well, they did coach.
That was a little misleading.
They did. What's that?
I said that was a little misleading.
Well,
but,
I'm trying to
Chuck
help
Pagano.
You. That was it. Oh my gosh! How did you get that?
Well, there's like two coaches left that coach the Colts who are still alive, and he was one of them. So I took a stab in the dark because I didn't think it was Tony Dungy.
You did it under 20 questions. Very good. Very good.
Is he a celebrity?
Well, yeah. Local celebrity.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like if Chuck Pagano were walking down the street right now, would somebody stop and go, oh my gosh, that's Chuck Pagano?
Well, that's what I did.
Kurt, do you agree?
Absolutely.
What percentage of people do you think would know, oh my gosh, hey, look, that's Chuck Pagano?
I would say at least 50% of people. Yes.
Yeah. Holy smokes.
Former Colts head coach.
What, did you like walk up to him at a bar and show him some thigh or what happened?
It was actually kind of like that. So, yes, we were at a place that serves adult libations, and he was sitting at the bar, and the dude said, I think that's Chuck Pagano. And I walked over to him after a few minutes of making sure that, in fact, that was him.
What do you mean making sure? What do you like, look like walking past?
Well, I had to check it out. Yeah, it is, in fact, him, and he was by himself. I walked over. We ended up having like a half hour conversation. One of the nicest people ever. The Master was on the TV at the establishment, and we sat there and watched the Masters together. And I asked him the question about Scottie Scheffler, about how Scottie Scheffler's wife was due to have the baby, and what would he do if his wife was going into labor? Would he continue to play the Masters, or would he leave to go be with his wife?
Right.
Guess what Coach Pagano said?
What?
He said, play through.
Yeah.
He would have played the Masters. He would have kept playing.
Okay, I just love the fact that Chuck Pagano on some random Sunday is trying to enjoy a golf match by himself. And here comes Casey and her husband. Hey, remember that time you guys got beat by the Patriots in the playoffs? Bad move, coach.
Well, he was in town to do that charity event.
Does he not live here anymore?
With Andrew Luck. I know where he lives.
Oh,
I got all the details.
Go on.
Yes. Yes, he does. He does have a home here in Central Indiana.
Did you tell him what you do? Did you lay on the I'm a bit of a celebrity myself?
No, I didn't. But I told him where I worked, and he said maybe he was going to listen.
Oh,
maybe.
Welcome.
Maybe.
You should. Oh, my gosh. If you are watching us on the YouTube right now, her eyes, and Kev will back me up on this, your eyes got big as saucers with a giant twinkle. I don't know what it was like on your wedding day, but I bet you didn't smile any bigger than you just did right there when you said maybe.
He was
we have to replay
pleasant.
That.
He was so pleasant and so fascinating. Everything we talked about.
she acts like she just met John Lennon. Like, maybe Chuck McConnell will be listening.
Your eyes are glistening.
All right, we've got to talk about more sports coming up. Caitlin Clark, Dave Portnoy's crazy bets, all the money he made.
The Dave Portnoy stuff over the weekend was both the most hilarious and pathetic thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
All right, that's coming up. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So the WNBA draft is being held tonight, and the Indiana Fever general manager, Lynn Dunn, has said that we're all excited about adding another number one pick in the draft.
Wouldn't it be the greatest troll ever if they took Angel Reese instead of Caitlin Clark? You want to talk about just folding up your franchise. And with the number one pick, the Fever select.
Yeah.
Angel Reese.
Yeah, not Caitlin Clark. So Indiana finished their 23 season with a 13-27 record. So they're obviously the number one choice again. But I don't think that's going to happen because, according to the general manager, they're already making plans of how Caitlin Clark, with her vision on the court, will be able to pass off to some of the players they already have on the roster.
You know, it's interesting. You see this in sports quite a bit, and the NFL is a great example of this, where not all number one picks are equal. There are certain years, this year is going to be a year where the Bears are going to get Caleb Williams at number one, and at least on paper, he's a franchise-altering player. He's a city-altering player. And then there are years where some linebacker or lineman goes number one, and while that person may be a good or serviceable NFL player, it doesn't change the direction of your franchise. And the Colts and the city of Indianapolis on multiple occasions has been very, very lucky with the Colts, where they have twice fell into generational players at quarterback because they just happen to have the number one pick those years that those players were available. And I think you're seeing the same thing here with the Indiana Fever. Look, they had the number one pick last year and they took Aaliyah Boston, and she's a fine player, but there is zero more interest in the Indiana Fever or there was this season than there was the year before with her. She doesn't move the needle. The team is still not obviously performing very well. But now you have a person who, just by sheer grace of God, right? You now have this city-altering player who everybody's going to take an interest in, from the team itself to the fans of the team to the college fans, the college she played for, to people who aren't even fans of women's basketball who are going to go see the show, to the politicians. I mean, this is a she is going to have an immense impact on the city of Indianapolis.
Yep, and ticket prices are already rising, and of course they're going to get their share of TV games as well. 36 out of the 40 games are going to be broadcast, so we'll be seeing a lot more of her. She was in New York City over the weekend and for the draft, and made an appearance on Saturday Night Live. She was part of the Weekend Update.
No, hold on. I think you're a great basketball player. I mean, I can't play like you do.
Yeah, we know. And obviously, I can't tell jokes like you do.
Thank you for that.
But I did write some jokes, and it would mean a lot to me if you read some of them. Just right over there on the cards.
Well. The Indiana Fever have the first pick in this Monday's draft. A reminder that Indiana Fever is a WNBA team and not what Michael Che gave to dozens of women at Purdue University.
See, that's a good joke about women's sports. I'm sure it will be a big first step for me, but it's just one step for the WNBA. Thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside. So I want to thank them tonight for laying the foundation. And Michael, since you're such a big fan, I brought you a souvenir. It's an apron signed by me.
So it's a pretty anticipated draft. Probably one of the more anticipated ones in
history.
It's the only one ever.
Right? Let's be honest. And it is not that the draft is anticipated. She's anticipated.
Like, how are the ratings going to dip after that?
And again, it's the game of reasonable expectations, which is there's going to be a shelf life to this because women's basketball just does not have the sustainability in terms of popularity or interest that the men do. And there is probably a realistic 2 or 3 year window where she's going to be the toast of the town and be super popular and be the most popular person in the city. And then that will just, even if she's a great player, it will simply wear off. But the city is going to benefit from this. The Fever are going to benefit from this. And everybody should be very excited about that.
Another thing that happened over the weekend is that Dave Portnoy won more money. This guy, he's on a roll, huh?
Is he, Casey? Because he's being a little So Dave Portnoy is the Barstool guy. He bet on Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters. Mm-hmm. Raise your hand if you also bet on Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters. Yes, I'm raising my hand right now. And he has now won two very large bets. He bet $300,000. I think Scottie Scheffler was like 4-1 when he placed his bet, maybe a little over 4-1. And so he took home $1.3 million. Mm-hmm. He had just done something similar with the NCAA tournament with UConn basketball.
Yeah, he won $2.1 million there.
And he's promoting himself as the greatest sports bettor of all time. What he's conveniently appearing to not mention is he lost a litany of games in the NCAA tournament. Like, it became a joke on Twitter about how many games in a row he had lost. Same thing happened in the bowl season for college football, because he bet big on Michigan, because he's a Michigan guy, to win the NCAA championship. And conveniently just forgets about all the bowl games that he lost in a row. Here was my favorite part of this, though, Casey, and Hammer's not going to be with us today, so we'll have to ask him about this tomorrow. Hammer said this is a thing. I've never seen this before, though. He was so mean to Scottie Scheffler for 2 days in a row. Like, he was just brutal to him every time he'd miss a putt or wouldn't chip the ball in. Or, I mean, it was like, you stand to make $1.3 million off this guy, and you're not even cheering for him, really. You're almost like just not that he can see your Twitter or cares about your Twitter or anything else, but I was thinking, if I stood to make $1.3 million off some guy, it'd be all positive all the time.
Do you think he was being just a bit of a hothead about it?
Well, Hammer said there's this, like, reverse psychology, which is if you're mean to the guy you bet on, it's more apt to work in your favor. That seems like a pretty depressing way to bet on sports, that you're basically belittling the person that, I mean, $300,000 is, can you imagine?
It's a lot of money.
You're going to lose. And golf is probably the hardest sport to bet, because there's so many players. Like, if you bet the Pacers and the Bucks, which is now the playoff series for the Pacers, it's coming up. I think it starts Saturday. You've got a realistic chance, even though the Pacers are an underdog, that they could win that series. There's two teams. One of them has to win.
Right.
In golf, there's 100 guys who played in the Masters, and realistically, or not quite 100, but realistically, 40 of those guys could win that tournament. There's realistically 40 people who could, if they bring their A game for that week. Mm-hmm. And Scottie Scheffler didn't have his A game and still won the Masters. So it's a total crapshoot. And to get that right, well, I'm not going to take a victory lap here. I'll probably wait till next hour to do that. That's incredible, but I cannot imagine having $300,000 riding on a sporting event.
Well, he's definitely into self-promotion, because he's claiming that he is the world's number one and the hottest gambler on the planet. He has made, I don't know what he spent.
See,
doing
this
it.
Is the misleading part of it, though.
You don't know how much he lost, but in the past 4 months, he has won $5.4 million.
He definitely did on the NCAA football championship, the basketball championship, and the Masters. However, he lost what has to be just a gargantuan amount of money betting on the NCAA tournament games, the bowl games. And look, there is a reason, and I always tell people this, and Hammer and I have a saying, water finds its level. There is a reason those casinos are in big, giant buildings, and you live where you live, right?
Yep.
Very rarely does anyone ever get ahead of the house.
He sounds like Donald Trump when he says, we may never see a four-month stretch this again, ever.
Can I do just a real quick personal brag here, Casey?
Yeah.
So, as you remember, I was working a lot at the golf course last fall, just trying to get hours in. And to pass the time, I was doing a bunch of probably irresponsible bets on football just to pass the time. And I looked at it while I was making so much money. This was like free entertainment. And through the NCAA tournament and the Masters, I have now made back all of the money that I lost with my irresponsible betting in the fall of last year. So
you're up a dollar?
It took me about 6 months, but I got back to break even. I'm almost exactly at break even.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy. But Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
He said they're not going to have any problems, and so that's why they're just not going to do it. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. We're talking about Robert Kennedy Jr. He said on Saturday that, nope, he's not going to run as a Libertarian. So I guess they were considering doing that in order to ensure that they would be on every ballot in every state. But he said, no, they're not going to have any problems, so they're not going to run as – he's not going to run as a Libertarian now.
Yeah, this is super interesting because his rather boring campaign, a lot of people thought, I mean, by the way, it has been rather boring so far, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the level of expectation, and this is the problem, and you know this, Casey, because you've been in media for a long time, when there is a high level of you always want to be exceeding the expectation. And you see this a lot in politics, and you see this in sports, and you see this in entertainment, where you'll hear, hey, we're anticipating making X amount of dollars on the debut weekend of this movie. And they'll tell you a lower number than what they actually expect, so that way they're always exceeding the expectation and you're taking a victory lap. Oh, yeah, or in sports, man, it'd be great if we could just find a way to pull this game out, when the reality is they're, a team might be clearly expecting to win the game. And this is sort of, in politics, it is no more true than what we're seeing with Robert F. Kennedy, where there was so much anticipation of this campaign. And let's face it, whether it is the fact that he really hasn't captivated the public with any sort of rousing proposal that everybody can get around. He's obviously, through no fault of his own, not a very dynamic speaker. And his kind of opening salvo was this super boring Wall Street crony pick for vice president, which mm-hmm. basically makes him like everybody else. You're looking at this going, well, what is special about you? I mean, other than you're not Biden or Trump, what is special about you, and what makes me, or what would make me want to vote for you? And this is an interesting approach, because a lot of people believed he would join the Libertarian Party, despite having many views that are in direct contrast with the Libertarian Party, because of their ballot access in all 50 states.
So I guess that there was a question about whether he would be qualified to be on the Iowa ballot. Is that true?
Well, and there was now, a whole bunch of states where they
Utah, New Hampshire, Nevada, Hawaii, North Carolina, Idaho, and Nebraska.
Right.
He's saying, nope, we're on all of them.
Well,
so no problems.
Clearly he knows, I would assume, it's probably better for him to get away from the Libertarian Party if he can, because let's face it, and look, the Indiana Libertarian Party is in many ways far ahead of the National Party. That party's a train wreck nationally. And you look at the successes the Indiana Libertarians have had, they are, and the candidates they've kind of run at the top of the ticket, Rainwater and then Jeff Moore, and obviously Rainwater is going to run again. They're light years ahead of where the National Party is, but that National Party is a complete crap show. They're unorganized. They're never run efficiently. And so that would be a stain to be connected with them. So if he can get on the ballot in all these states and not have that, I mean, he can put an I next to his name rather than an L. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to benefit him. But there's no reason to vote for this guy. Like, he's not offering people a compelling reason to vote for him. He will get people. I mean, people want to vote for things, right? People want to be inspired to do things. And right now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is largely just a vote against Trump or Biden.
Right. That's what he's even saying, that they're just a spoiler for Biden or Trump. That's how he's describing
that's
his own campaign.
And here, and look, I am pretty good at this, Casey. I'm going to ask everybody to remember this. So it is April the 15th at 9:53 in the a.m.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is that the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. campaign will continue to move down in the polling. I don't think it'll be a dramatic spike at any time or a dramatic drop at any time, but I think by the time the debate stage is set, he will not be eligible to be on that debate stage. And if he is not on the debate stage, then he is in many cases no more relevant than Ralph Nader.
Okay, so does that mean that there won't be a candidate nationally for the Libertarian Party?
No, they'll have somebody, and it'll be some wacky, goofy,
somebody nobody's
whatever
ever heard of.
And it's, look, it really does. It really is a bad thing the Libertarians nationally can't get their act together. But let's face it, the Libertarians here, while they have exceeded the expectations of the Libertarian Party nationally, which that's a, like a one inch, thing to hop over, they have not capitalized on Rainwater's success of 2020 either. I mean, they underperformed in the 2022 elections. Rainwater's running again, but there's not, other than that, there's not much to write home about. And we need a viable third party. I mean, the Republicans and Democrats have failed so many people, and they've failed so many times, that you're never going to get solutions from these parties as a collective. But yet there is no viable third alternative yet, and this is why we're stuck where we're stuck.
Well, and the No Labels came out last week and said that they're not going to run a candidate at all. So you're right. We are completely and fully entrenched in the two-party system.
Well, and so you think about it. If you're a vote, you know, you're a kind of a nonpartisan voter, whatever that means these days, mm-hmm. you're looking at, do I literally want to throw my vote away on Kennedy because he's not offering me anything and he has no chance to win now? Or do you want to pick the lesser of two evils?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that's what you got to do. And that's a terrible position to be in.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning.